Hi, welcome to another episode. So, you know, last week when I was like the human embodiment of like the heart eyes emoji, it's still very much that. But I will be talking about other things too. So, we've got lots of exciting things ahead of us this episode. Praying for rest. Locked away with my anxious energy. Endlessly tying myself in knots. Always typing myself into trouble. Soft, sweet, stupid words, and the morada de ti. Don't listen to my over-emotional awfulness or my dramatic but vague monologues on Twitter, never quite spelling out what I'm screaming under my breath. To love is to creep closer and closer to craziness. Unlike 5 seconds ago, I'm presenting myself with pleasantness. Realistically sure that you think I'm a little intense, but hoping you can't see my depths. Trying too hard to play it cool when I'm frozen by fear. My God, I really have lost it. Eventually it had to happen. When I was like 18/19, so I was 18 when it was January and the whole thing began, and I turned 19 in February. I had what I suppose I should consider to be my first like proper relationship. You know, it was like, you know, like, you know, you do the whole thing like, you know, hey, here is my family that you should meet. Hey, we should hang out with each other's friends. We have to do the whole clicking the relationship status thing on Facebook, all that, you know, kerfuffle. And I was quite inexperienced, I guess, in a million different ways. And so I had expectations of what it would be like, which were in some ways unrealistic and so naturally not met. But I mean, there were some that I feel realistically were quite realistic. But there we are. One of the things that I found hardest to deal with was how that relationship, you know, how we were supposed to act with each other, if that makes sense. I'm, you know, then and now, I'm somebody, I feel things very deeply. It takes me a lot longer these days to get to a point where I do, but when I am there, yikes, sis. But then is very, very easy for me to become attached to somebody. And so I did with this person, and they, you know, and so here's the point, I don't know whether I was being naive or what, but it was like, I would feel things and I would express things, and it was like kind of like he was annoyed by it, like he was irritated by me loving him. And it's like, Then why don't you dump me or something? Damn, like, you know, you asked me out. You said you wanted to be in a relationship with me after we went out a few times. And then now, like, it wasn't like I was like hiring skywriters or anything, but he was very dismissive of pretty much every attempt I made to be nice. And so I think I developed this complex, and I since then I've always been very worried about that. And I am slowly learning to try and let go of that and not be afraid to be open about how I feel. You know, I have to keep telling myself, you know, just because this one person almost a decade ago, who also happened to be quite a bastard, did not appreciate those things, that does not mean that they were wrong. You know, I mean, as it all turns out, I don't think he was really in the relationship for, you know, the right reasons, so that could be why. But there we are. But it's a hard process, you know, to relearn that and to teach yourself, you know, it's okay to feel things and to express that. You know, it's okay to enjoy being happy. You're fine. I used to tell myself that one day my obsession would end. I would end up in the tender embrace of the finest final chapter, happily ever after never being near the narrative that I needed, finding the right path, the right heart, laying among my letters, arranging them with fragile fingertips in ever-maddening mutations, counting down and then resetting my intentions when the cycles start to seem the same. Then I started to tell myself that one day I'd accept that sometimes answers are evasive. That one day I'd persuade myself that I didn't need to pursue love. Because, like life, love is just one of those things that happens to you. And it won't be the love or the life that you read about or dreamt about, but it would do. Then I used to tell myself that all I have is my own heart, my mind, that I could be relieved to give up grasping at straws, grasping at goodnights and goodbyes, watching them evaporate as I tried to force them to be elaborative, expansive. It takes discipline to drop it all off a cliff, to give up on grasping at glass slippers, to accept that life, love, and the way that letters land are not your decision, and that they may not ever enter your life in the first place. Today, I told myself that I am no longer a slave to my skeletons, straws, slippers. Today I am afraid for the 14th time since I found you, because I am a fiend. Distracted, I drop the key to a club that few find their way into, because I told myself that I'd figure it out, and then I told myself I'd be fine if I didn't, until I told myself that I couldn't risk another wreck. But now I'm near the edge, neatly arranging the last letters as I find the right words for the finest final chapter. So I finally watched You on Netflix. So there's going to be some spoilers coming up. I'm going to put the timestamps in the description, so you know when to skip ahead if you haven't seen it. But I got like, I got like tweets of disbelief on Twitter when I said about how I was only just watching it. So I'm assuming it's been out for a while. Anyway, I'm going to start talking about it now. So firstly, I loved it. Secondly, as a woman and a writer, my God, have I met people like Joe. There's like people who will like latch onto young women creators because they feel like they want to be a part of that story and they want to mold them. Like literally every woman that I know that is a writer has at least one story of some guy who basically thought, oh, she's so vulnerable and creative, she needs to be saved, you know what I mean? Obviously, I don't think that's the only reason Joe was interested in Beck, but still, I found that very interesting and relatable. And this is the major spoiler, by the way. The scene towards the end where Beck is writing the story for Joe in the horrible basement cage thing, and she's talking about how she used to believe in fairy tales and then she stopped. I was really thinking about that because I was like, girl, same. Is this woman me? Because wow. And so I wanted to kind of write something about that. I was, you know, just, I binge watched this show in like a whole weekend last weekend. It was crazy. So I felt it more intensely. I don't know. But I was thinking about how growing up, I'd always had this very naive, picturesque vision of love in my head. And at first, I genuinely believed it was going to come true. I was like, yeah, I'll find someone. They'll be perfect for me. They'll be amazing. And then I sort of experienced relationships and things like that. And I was like, love is a scam, bitch. And I became really disillusioned. And I was like, oh, fuck this for a plate of sandwiches. You know what I mean? But perhaps preemptively, but I'm doing it nevertheless. In my current experience, I'm feeling like maybe I could believe that it could be good. And I am having a good time with that. It is a scary time because oh God, what is happening? You know, it's unusual. You know, but I'm having fun and happy times. And it's interesting how these things work out. Well, to use the vernacular, the snowflakes are at it again, lads. Because 189 people complained about an offensive broadcast on the BBC. Do you know what it was? It was two dudes dancing. And apparently that's like so fucking offensive that people actually complained. Like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so what happened was on Strictly Come Dancing, they had two of the professional dancers who were both men dancing together during a performance, and apparently 189 people were so incensed that they decided to put in official complaints. And I just, God, really? Really, sis? Like, you're so offended by two people dancing together because you're so preoccupied by the fact that they're both men. Like, some people have war in their countries, like, and you're really complaining about two dudes having a little dance on a TV show. I can't imagine how sad these people's lives must be. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, imagine seriously logging on to Ofcom's website and being like, you know what I need to do? I need to file a complaint about this offensive gay dance. Like, fucking hell. Get a hobby, hun. Like, go outside. Find some friends. Find some love in your life so that you're not so offended by other people's. Like, honestly, what is that? Oh, two men touched. I'm gonna cry. Honestly, I mean, when you think about it, homophobia really is the dumbest shit. It's like, really? Like, seriously? You're like so preoccupied and upset about something that literally does not concern you. Like, do you know what? At this point, I have to laugh at these people because they just, I don't know, they just seem pathetic to me. I have to laugh. I also have to scream, but I feel like my microphone's not going to thank me for doing that. But, I mean, just, Jesus Christ. You know, there were people apparently that said that they would no longer watch Strictly Come Dancing if same-sex pairings became a regular occurrence. Like, I mean, you're watching a show about ballroom dancing. Is it really that drastically affected if the couples are same sex? Like, I really don't think it is. And I think these people, they can't have much going on in their lives if this is what preoccupies them and this is what consumes their life, like complaining about gays on television. Like, if that's your biggest problem, count your fucking blessings, you know what I mean? Count your blessings, go out, be nice to people. Don't be such a tragic mess, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, imagine filing a complaint over that. Like, imagine being that level of sad. You really hate to see it. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. stunning girl. I love you. Even when you felt like nobody did. They did, you're just not very observant. I actually never stopped, even when I hated you. Those days when you went missing. Melting from how much everything meant and how scared you were of the way the world rushes around you. Not seeming to notice that you only breathe when you're reminded. I love you. When life clouded over you, raining and shining all at once, seeming to adore you and ignore you all at once. Some things are forever, some things are forgettable. Sometimes you'll wonder how anyone could still care for you, convinced that you are the kind of girl that people wish they'd never met. But honestly, you aren't so bad. And I know, because I don't love often, but I have always loved you. I feel it's important to practice self-care by reminding yourself that you love yourself, even if at the same time you're calling yourself a dumb bitch. I wrote that a while ago. It's for the new book that I'm writing at the moment. I was just editing it, but now I'm writing new things for it because that's productive. I wanted to kind of remind myself, hey, you're a dumb bitch sometimes, but I totally love you, you know what I mean? And I was reminded of that poem in particular because of two things. Firstly, linguistically, there are similarities to something else I've already read on this episode, and so it made me think of that. And secondly, I was thinking, I gotta read and talk about something that isn't, you know. So, yeah. I try and like myself, love myself even. It's hard sometimes because I'm like, oh God, I hate this bitch. And then I'm like, wait, but I am this bitch. So... It's a process, it's a struggle, but, you know, we're doing it. It's all good. By the time you hear this episode, there will be only a few days left to register to vote if you're in the UK. This is potentially one of the most important elections of our lifetime. So, if you are in the UK, I strongly urge you to register to vote. The link for how to do that is in the description. Just register to vote. Voting is fun, it's quick, it's easy, it's free. Get into it. So you know the SNL sketch, Whoops, I Married a Lesbian? That, but like with a Capricorn. As you know, I'm very, like, spiritual and shit. God, I sound like one of those girls on, like, you know. Anyway, he doesn't really believe in, like, astrology or fortune telling or anything like that, which, honestly, I was like, oh, how can you, like, live without magic in your life? So, out of pettiness, I'm gonna take some time to tell our fortunes. We're not using tarot cards today, we're using playing cards, because you can, that's a thing, you can do that. So make a wish, because I'm shuffling. Da-da-da. Okay, we're gonna go with three insights into your future, three things to look out for. Okay, so first, the Six of Diamonds. Diamonds are a podcast listener's best friend. Oh, God. potential problems in your relationships, your connections, friendships, things that could be breaking down and going wrong. Did want to start things off on a lighter note, but... um, I can't remember. Okay. Oh, Queen. The Queen of Clubs. Oh my God. A dark-haired, confident woman who gives you good advice. Oh my God, I'm a dark-haired, confident woman. I cannot say for sure if my advice is good, but, you know, I do my best. So, hey, maybe you're going to get some real good insights here. Ooh, this is interesting. The Seven of Clubs. Business success, although there may be problems in relationships. A change in business that may have been expected or earned, such as promotion. See, that's interesting because your first card, the Six of Diamonds, did indicate that there would be some relationship problems too. So I think maybe it's about finding that balance between work and personal things. You have to make sure that you're not like working so hard that you can't enjoy those personal connections. And as I said, I am a dark-haired, confident woman giving you advice. There you are. Let's do a little something, see what's happening for me. The Four of Hearts. That's interesting because that would indicate travel or a change of home or business. I am going on holiday at the start of December. So I'm going to be traveling. That's wild. Wow, it's almost as if the cards know things. Wow, that's so interesting. a change of home. That's a really interesting concept. I kind of like the idea of moving in like a really abstract way. I don't like when I'm actually like moving house. I find it quite stressful, but you know, I like the idea of it in a very, like, oh, the places I could explore, the places I could go. How amazing. I love it. So I wouldn't be mad at that, I guess. So let's see what else we have going on for moi. The Six of Spades, small changes and improvements. That's good news. And I love good news, obviously. Oh, wow. The Nine of Hearts, which is the card of wishes. A wish or a dream fulfilled. Look to the card just preceding this one to find out what the wish involves. So that would be small improvements or changes. So that's nice news. It's nice to know that when you ask for things, you will receive. Okay, so I'm gonna do one more card for us each for a little bonus intel on what the future holds. So I am currently shuffling, so you can make one last wish, but don't tell anyone what it is. You're not supposed to tell people. A fortune teller on the central pier of Blackpool told me that. She said you don't tell anyone because it won't come true. And here's the thing, I didn't tell anyone and it did come true. So I'm just saying, as I said earlier, I am the dark-haired, confident woman giving you advice, and that would be my advice. Make a wish, but keep it to yourself, and then watch it happen. So. Oh, I love when hearts come up. Like, for me, that's just a really positive image anyway. Like, I just feel like, you know, everything good comes from that, you know. It's the Three of Hearts. So, this is good. Love and happiness. Now, you'll remember that earlier I did mention that you could be facing some problems in relationships and with the relationship work balance. I think things are going to work out for you. I do. Love and happiness is on its way to you. Ooh, and I got the Eight of Hearts. An unexpected gift or visit or an invitation to a party. That's interesting. I struggle with parties because I get very nervous and afraid and things, but maybe this one will be good. I don't know. But I'm always up for unexpected visits and certainly unexpected gifts, I'm not gonna lie. But so there's a nice surprise on the way for me, I hope, and love and happiness on the way for you. So I think we're gonna be okay. What the actual fuck is going on with this whole election business? So we had our first debate this week. I'm not gonna lie to you, it was shit. I don't really see the point of having just Corbyn and Johnson in a debate. I mean, it's not the most important thing, but neither of them are very engaging speakers, I'm not gonna lie. But also, it's very sort of England-centric, you know. Where's the representation for people in Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland? Like, I'm going to be real with you. Like, if you look at somewhere like Scotland, for example, Labour and the Conservatives are not going to win seats there on a major level. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's just not. Same for Northern Ireland. Wales, obviously, Labour tends to dominate there, but, you know, why are they not getting the option to look at other parties? It seems nonsensical. But anyway, it happened. That was a thing. So they talked a bit about Brexit, the National Health Service, Prince Andrew, Christ. If you're not caught up on that, basically Prince Andrew was interviewed by Emily Maitlis on Newsnight, and he basically gave a bunch of excuses and was like, yeah, I was friends with a paedophile, but it doesn't say anything about me as a person. Yeah, I don't remember this at all, but I remember weirdly specific things about Pizza Express and why I don't sweat and a whole bunch of dumb shit. So he didn't really do much to make himself look not suspicious. He's now the decision has been taken for him to step back from royal duties. We still don't know if he's going to be cooperating with investigations, or if the accusations against him are going to be taken any further, considering he is a, you know, rich guy who's never faced real consequences. I have my doubts, but I remain hopeful. Anyway, so that ended up coming up in the debate, because of course it did. So Boris Johnson is still going on about his Brexit deal that he thinks is great. His sort of point was, you know, my deal's good, we're going to come out of the EU on January 31st. Frankly, I fucking hope not. That would be a terrible birthday present for me, because obviously my birthday is the next day, so, you know, There go the Tories, further trying to ruin my life. Jeremy Corbyn said he would negotiate a credible option within 3 months and then put it to the people in a referendum. So the choice would be between the deal that he had done and remaining. I'm going to be real. I don't think it's realistic that Jeremy Corbyn is going to be able to get a credible Leave deal that people will agree to. I think it's adorable that he's still holding on to that as a concept, but it's not realistically going to happen. Because, I mean, the EU can't give the UK special treatment. They can't give us this magical, amazing deal just because, you know, just because Jeremy Corbyn asked nicely. It's just not going to happen. If he wants to continue that delusion, I guess I can't stop him, but I don't think it's realistic. I am, however, totally down for a referendum that works for me. I don't think the deal aspect of what he is saying is realistic and going to happen. They also talked about trust in politicians, and this was interesting because the Conservative Party, they basically lied and misled a bunch of people as this debate was happening. The Conservative Press Office rebranded their Twitter to make it look like an independent fact-checking organisation. Technically, they said it was from the Conservatives, but it was in very, very, very small writing on their, like, profile banner. Like, you wouldn't have known if you hadn't, like, clicked through and had a proper look. And even Twitter agreed it was misleading and, you know, sort of said that they would have to take action if it happened again. So at a time when Boris Johnson is on TV saying, you know, about restoring trust in politics, his party's press office is basically scamming the public on social media. So, I mean, at this point, lying is on brand for Boris, but, like, for God's sake, it's frustrating and annoying. So they talked a bit about the health service. Jeremy Corbyn wants to end privatisation within the NHS, work on filling vacancies. I think the problem there is that filling vacancies is just one part of the problem. Conditions for staff in the NHS obviously have to improve, because otherwise you can fill the vacancies all you want, people are going to leave after a while. So it will be interesting. I know that Labour are setting out their manifesto this week. It will be interesting to see what they have in there about that. Boris Johnson says that there will be no circumstances in which this government or any Conservative government will put the NHS on the table in any trade negotiation. And frankly, I feel if you have to say that, if you have to clarify on that, I mean, that's not good, right? There shouldn't be a point where the public are worried about that, but okay. Anyway, who won the debate? It's a big question. Nobody. I didn't think either of them were particularly great or impressive. You know, if I had to give it to someone, I'd say maybe Jeremy Corbyn, purely based on the fact that he doesn't have the whole "we pretended to be an independent fact checker" thing hanging over him, whereas Boris Johnson does. So on the same evening on ITV, they also did some interviews with party leaders for some of the other parties. The question I would have is, why didn't you just invite them to the debate? But there we are. So Joe Swinson of the Liberal Democrats did not mention assassinating more dogs, which is great news, but she did say that she was totally prepared to use the nuclear missile system, which made some people slightly uncomfortable, I guess. she wants to revoke Article 50, but that's been the Lib Dems' whole deal for a while, so that's not really a surprise. She's opposed to a coalition with Boris Johnson or Jeremy Corbyn, but I mean, the Lib Dems said that before, so you'll have to excuse me if I don't trust you, sis. For some reason, they asked them about Bush Tucker trials from that I'm a Celebrity thing. I mean, I personally wouldn't want to be drawing attention to that, but there we are. Apparently, she said she would take Farage in to the jungle with her so that she can watch him do Bush Tucker trials. That's okay. Nicola Sturgeon of the SNP in Scotland was also interviewed, because I guess they remembered sort of at the last minute that England is not the world. She said, again, there's a lot of things that weren't really surprises, but maybe surprises to people from England who don't realise that things happen in other parts of the UK. She said that people in Scotland should vote for the SNP to stop Boris Johnson from having more seats. That makes sense. There are people in England that won't like that, but it does make sense, because in Scotland, if you look at the data and you look realistically, yeah, she's right, because Labour are not going to do great. They will be lucky to hold on to the seats they have. So realistically, voting Labour there is probably going to do fuck all to stop the Conservatives. So she's right, but people in England won't want to hear it, because they don't like to think that things exist outside of Westminster. Climate change and Scottish independence are her biggest priorities. Again, this isn't a surprise, but it probably is to people who don't pay attention to anything that happens outside of London. She is open to an informal arrangement with the Labour Party if an independence referendum is granted, but if not, no. Which, again, is fair enough, I would say. So no real big surprises there. All pretty standard stuff. If you're wondering, she... Oh my God. She said that she would take both Farage and Johnson into the jungle with her if she went on I'm a Celebrity, but not if she had to spend time with them. We love a shady queen. I just want to take this moment to point out, I still think about Kezia Dugdale going on I'm a Celebrity. That was an iconic moment. Just so iconic. Anyway, the Greens... were represented by Sean Berry, who is one of their co-leaders. The Greens have two leaders because they're totally into job shares. That's a thing that they do. So again, the Greens, no major surprises. Climate crisis needs to be solved. Investment to help with that. Improvements in housing and transport to aid greener living. And encouraging more cooperation between parties to increase productivity. That is not a surprise, because if you look at the growing Remain alliance, it is pretty much the Greens standing down and helping everybody else. The Greens really are the nice guys of political parties. And she said she would take Jonathan Bartley into the jungle. That's her co-leader of the Greens. Christ, Nigel Farage. His priority is to leave the EU in 2020. He wants real change, such as replacing the House of Lords with an upper chamber. Yes, because that's a fresh idea that's never been pitched before. More referendums on future issues. Jesus Christ. Cutting foreign aid and focusing on trade. I fucking hate when politicians say that. It's such a lazy thing to say. Oh, let's cut foreign aid. Cut foreign aid. Like, firstly, it's called international development funding, bitch.
Secondly, it is the smallest part of the budget. It is such a tiny amount of money and it does so much good work. And it helps us to help neighbouring countries build relationships, build connections, help them to get to a point where they can, you know, work on their own initiatives and their own projects. And it's the smallest part of the budget. I really don't think that's such a bad idea. But someone like Nigel Farage will say, oh, cut foreign aid, and he'll act like it's a huge amount of money, and it really isn't. And it's like, just say that you're xenophobic and go, mate. It's a tiny amount of money that does a huge amount of good work. You know, you want to cut something? Cut fucking MP salaries or something. You know, limit what they can claim on expenses. You know, shit like that. That would actually, you know, be useful. Or, you know, and I feel like I can say this after the infamous interview this week. Cut off the royal family. That would save us fucking tons of money. You know, so anyway, I'm very much in don't cut the international development budget team. Start a global initiative on climate change with the UN and plant lots of trees. I'm not going to lie, that actually is a surprise coming from Nigel Farage, because he's never really seemed that concerned about the environment before. I mean, it's cute, but he doesn't really seem to have any other priorities apart from cut foreign aid, Brexit, replace the House of Lords, and plant some trees. That would be cute if, like, it was one of those joke parties, but, like, he's actually been invited on TV and shit, so... he also said he would take Boris Johnson into the jungle so they can have a drink and discuss their views. I can't imagine anything worse, to be honest. So that was that debate. There's going to be more, unfortunately. I don't see the point of having such limited debates, you know, because this is an election that's happening all over the country, all over the UK. So, I mean, you know, anyway. So what we have sort of coming up over the next few days and shit, the parties are going to be releasing manifestos and sorting out all of their policies, what they're going to be actually campaigning on. So that will be fun and interesting to see. I mean, this week it's really just been bitches being messy and that dumb debate. The Lib Dems lost a candidate because it turned out he's a massive racist who hates Jewish people. So did the Tories, same problem. I really don't understand why nobody is getting background checked. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, it takes like 10 minutes to check someone's Twitter to make sure there's nothing bad on there. You can use Google, you can use certain tools on Google to search things like Facebook posts and shit like that. If you don't want to sit there and do it yourself, there are companies you can pay that will do it for you. They will check everything to make sure that there is nothing that could be embarrassing. And yet, every single time this shit happens, and I mean, you really hate to see it. You really hate to see it.
Conditioner in my hair, killing time, baby doll stares in a baby blue towel, to my front camera, sitting with apprehension, trying to appear attractive on the shoulders of my bath, as the water lost all the heat that she had shared with me. And I was saying to nobody in particular, he's crazy about you, and you're crazy not to think so. Slipping further into a state of delirium. Love has always been conditional. Love has been many things to me. Exorcism, cannibalism, abomination, extortion, and yet I sit saying over and over, you have to believe that you can believe him. My patience had left along with the warmth of the water, so I clicked send, sending an image of attempted attractiveness to the side of angst. My heart is in bad condition. There have been no careful owners. I dried and dressed in dejected silence, watching the water escape, knowing that even she thought I was too desperate, too damaged to keep you or her interested for more than one night. But then you said, I don't know how you don't see it, but you are absolutely stunning. And for a moment, I did see. I know it's not gonna seem like it because I normally post a selfie every now and again, and by every now and again I mean at least once a week. This week it's actually been sort of three or four times that I've done that, so this probably will sound very disingenuous, but I persist. I actually don't really like taking photos all that much. It's a long process for me to even get one that I like it'll be like half an hour of hard graft, like trying different poses, sometimes changing outfits, and you know, finding lighting that doesn't look bad. And my god, honestly, I do not know how like influencers and shit do it. I have no idea. I find it difficult because I'll, you know, sort of be sat there looking at a photo I've taken and being like, no, I don't like that, or oh no, that looks terrible, you know what I mean? But one of the upsides of, and I'm gonna talk about it, you knew it was gonna happen, you knew it was coming. One of the upsides of having someone in your life is they make you feel like more confident. Is that the word I'm looking for? I don't know, maybe, probably. It's very that. I feel better about my insecurities because I figure, you know, hey, there's at least one person that likes the way I look, so maybe other people do. Maybe I am, you know, fine, acceptable, whatever, you know. And so I wrote that kind of about my struggle to take a picture. And it was literally, I was in my bathroom for like an hour. Just, I don't know why, but the lighting in my bathroom is okay. There's different points in my house where the lighting is good and the lighting is bad, which is honestly a logistical nightmare. But I was just like taking, you know, tons of different photos, and you know, I've settled on one that I didn't hate entirely. But then after, it was like I felt, you know what, maybe they were all good. Maybe I look okay. And that was a nice feeling. Get the new album, Sleepwalking, by Jennifer Wong. Available now on iTunes, Spotify, and all major streaming services and digital stores. Find the deluxe edition exclusively on Bandcamp and jenniferwong.com, featuring the new single, Calais and Dover. That's all for this week's episode, but we'll be back next week. You can check out more of my work on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. Thank you to all my pals at Patreon: Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, Helena. You can support the show on Patreon. I think it may actually be pronounced Patreon. That's how they say it on Romaniacs. And those guys are really smart. They're like journalists and shit, so they would know. Anyway, however you say it, you can. And you can get like free content, early content, free merch, and all kinds of cool stuff for as little as one whole dollar a month. You can also find me on social media with the username Miss J Squared on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Rumble, all the places. You can also, I keep meaning to mention this and then forgetting to do so, but you can actually follow this show with the username Sincerely Jennifer X on Instagram, where I'll be posting little bits from the show, some behind the scenes stuff, all that fun shenanigans over there. So you can follow us there as well. And I will be back next week. Good night, my love.